I have two more questions, and then if there's anything else you want to say, you're welcome to. One is, could you kind of describe what a family who, say, who maybe who, because you explain what people can get from the mountain and that economy and that, you know, those resources. So could you explain what a family could get or gets from the land? Like if they go to get the firewood or if they graze cattle or sheep or, you know, what is, could you explain what those resources are for a family and how to, just so people have an image of what was taken away, like what economy was taken away?
There are some, a lot of families in some of the rural mountain villages around this area that still rely on firewood, not just for heat, but also for cooking. So that's not an old bucolic historic thing. That's still very current. People need that. When there was an injunction because of spotted owl lawsuits back in the mid-90s, an injunction that stopped all cutting, including firewood gathering on national forests, a lot of people in the community of Truchas, as one example, didn't have enough firewood, and they had a long, cold winter. So there's firewood. There are building materials for homes. And in, you know, northern New Mexico, what used to be just the cheapest type of building, using mud and making bricks out of it into adobes and using small diameter trees for vigas and latillas, people built like that because it was effective and because it was cheap, and these were all resources that were on hand. So those are some other resources that come from the local landscape. Grazing livestock, whether you have sheep or cattle or what have you, a lot of those traditionally, those herds and flocks would gather would graze and be moved in a transhumance kind of way up and down with the seasons to wherever the most nutritious forage and grass was. And I think a very, well, and hunting as well, because people relied also on hunting. And I think a very, very important kind of big picture resource is just watershed, the watershed health, because that's where the water comes from, for your acequias, your irrigation water. If you overcut your forest, you ruin your watershed. You're going to have too much silt and sediment clogging up the head gates and causing troubles. So people had to, you know, as part of the reciprocal relationship, take care of the land by not overcutting the forest, by grazing carefully and seasonally in the right places at the right times, to care for the watershed so you've got that water when you need it. As well as the land that was farmed, there were a lot of foods that were gathered, wild foods that were gathered throughout different elevations on the mountainside, and a lot of those foods grew along the acequias and ditches. So just a whole range of resources. Now, this was, you know, in some villages in northern New Mexico, even 50 years ago, even during the Depression, people were still living like this. A lot of people say they barely noticed the Depression because it didn't cause much of a difference here because people didn't have any money to start with. Few people are living like that now, obviously, and I don't imagine many people would go back to living like that these days, even if they had the opportunity. But again, in terms of the loss of the land, it was all those resources, for sure, but I think very importantly, it was the loss of opportunity that comes with owning an asset like the land.
And then my last question was, and this is, maybe I'm trying to be like an anthropologist, but, you know, the point of this is to link land and culture and to give people who don't have a link with land in their minds, or they don't realize that they have a link with land, to give them something tangible that, so they realize that they they do have a connection to the land, whether it be because of the Cambalache or the, you know, the harvest festivals, or, you know, is there anything that you can think of or talk about or explain, describe that is tangible, that is like, in as far as culture in general in New Mexico, like, you know, people, it's tourist, you know, so many people come and live here. They want to live here because they love the culture. They love mm-hmm. the chili ristras, the, mm-hmm. you know, the Burning Man, uh-huh. the, you know, all of these things. But can you talk about something that is tied to the land? And if we don't take care of the land, then we're going to lose part of the culture.
I'm sorry. A friend of mine, I've been
trying to get a hold of, sort of a
tangible land and culture connection that might resonate with anybody in this state, right? Mm. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's a tough one, because the way I see it, the way I talk about it and have written about it from a lot of the research and oral history interviews I've done, that kind of culture growing from the land has to be a product of generations, of centuries of living in a place. And I don't think there's any way to shortcut that. I think there are other levels on which people connect to the land. And, you know, people move to a place like Northern New Mexico because of the land and the culture. And a lot of times people say they just move here for the scenic open views, but you look a little closer and some of those scenic open views, like I said, is part of the cultural landscape, you know, the irrigated fields, the traditional churches, the village scapes, as well as the landscapes. So I think people value that. And around Taos in Northern New Mexico, it seems like there is a growing awareness of our relationship to the land in terms of where we get our food. Specifically, a lot more people interested in local agriculture, in local grass-fed or range-fed livestock, in organic produce that's grown on the CSA down the road. And people have a connection in that way. And I think that's a quick way to connect to the land. It doesn't create culture in the span of a generation or two, but it definitely connects you in a way that living in the suburbs and just shopping for groceries at your local Walmart will never connect you to the land. So that's something else we have going here that I think is promising. A lot of newcomers, and I don't say that in a negative way. I mean, people who are new to the area, I know it can sometimes have a stigma to it, but a lot of newcomers come here because they value the land in the way that local people have always valued it, and they want to connect to it in the way that local people have always been connected to it. So I think that's encouraging.
Thank you. And is there anything else that you'd like to say?
I said too much already.
Thank you very much for doing this interview.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck with the show.
Thank you.